and welcome to the Impact Interviews. I'm Laura and I'm your host today. And today I'm delighted to welcome Professor Gwyn Davis, who leads the asthma service at Swansea. But today she's actually going to talk to us today about the Asthma UK Centre for Applied Research Postgrad Training Programme, which is a massive mouthful. And so without further ado, hi Gwyn.
Hi Laura.
Hi. But before we start to talk about this, these are the impact interviews. So I'd really like to know from you, what do you think impact is and why should anyone care?
It's a great question. So I think impact is the so what, isn't it, you know, about your research. So what difference is it actually going to make to patients and society? So what's, you know, what difference is it going to make? You know, is it going to, you know, change practice? Is it going to improve the life of the patient? Is it going to, you know, tell policymakers what they should be doing? So that's all about, you know, what does the, you know, research actually mean? What difference is it going to make to us and to patients?
And so why should people care?
Because it's important for patients, because we want to reduce asthma attacks, we want to ultimately reduce asthma deaths, we want to, you know, improve the lives of people with asthma.
Okay, so everybody should care really, because lots of people have got asthma and lots of people are looking after people with asthma, lots of people kind of have them in your families, love their loved ones. It's like an important but global issue, right? So everybody should care in the whole world.
Exactly. As you say, it's a really common condition. You know, it's the commonest, you know, chronic condition in childhood, for example. And really, you know, has a huge impact on people. So yeah, there's a lot we can do to improve things.
Oh, that's brilliant. But here today, we're here to talk about the Asthma UK Centre for Applied Research Postgrad Training Programme. I hope I'm never going to have to say that again. So could you tell us, what is it? Who cares? Why is it amazing?
It is a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But
yeah.
I'll just call it the training programme and talk about our centre. So
I could do that.
It's been very exciting because we've trained over 50 students and early career researchers now, and developed the next generation of research leaders. So that's a huge increase in capacity and capabilities in terms of asthma research in the UK. So we're really chuffed about that. In terms of, you know, what's made the programme unique, I think, is that we've had core principles, like we've had a supervisor from another university on all the PhDs, for example. And that's really, you know, fostered that real collaborations across the UK. So I think, you know, sometimes people felt, oh, that's a new thing. That's a bit of a pain to have to think about somebody else to be involved here from outside our university. But once people have got over that mindset, I think it's, you know, it's really broadened people's horizons and allowed the students and everybody really to see the bigger picture. So we've genuinely had, you know, collaborations, you know, from the bottom up and from the top down. So we've got a huge amount of collaborations that's come about because of the work of the centre.
And so if you had to say who cares, so probably some of the students, but also it must have a wider implication, right? So who cares?
Well, the obviously, yes, from the students' point of view, it's been really important for them. It's been important to, you know, society and to asthma research, because we have genuinely, you know, got some great research leaders coming through now. And, you know, that's going to have an impact for, you know, many years to come. They've done really important research. And we've also involved patients every step of the way. So the patients have been involved right from the start. And that's been quite a unique part of the training as well, that the students have been able to meet patients and talk to patients about what's important to them. So not all of our students have been clinicians. So it's been particularly important for the non-clinical students to actually chat to patients and understand, you know, what asthma means to them as well.
And so why is it amazing? I mean, you told us all the great things, but why is it not great, but why is it amazing? Why would people say it's amazing? Why would you use it?
I think it's amazing because, you know, it's been really unique. You've got this amazing community, and I think that really came through during the pandemic, an amazing community of students who were able to support each other. I think it's amazing because we've really got some great research leaders coming through now. And it's amazing because of the, you know, the research that they've done, but also the collaborations they've built for the future, really. So I think there's genuinely a, you know, huge network now across the UK, and that, you know, can only get stronger and bigger, really, over years to come.
Mm-hmm. So if I can ask you maybe for two stories, but don't give any confidential information, like I'm not after sort of anything breach of confidentiality, but I'm really interested to hear two stories. One from somebody who's been on the postgrad training program, kind of what is their life like now as a consequence of having been through this unique, amazing program. And then also I'm really interested in maybe the other side, the patient side, because you said that you get them involved right from the beginning. Have you got any stories or one story that you can tell about a patient perspective as being on the receiving end of some of the research or the training that these people have undertaken?
Yeah, it's hard to pick just, you know, a couple of people out. But I'll pick two of our students that were in the first tranche of PhD students, and show, you know, they've come such a long way, really. So I'll pick Tracy Jackson. Came as a PhD student and was really involved with, you know, the patient part, the PPI part, and seeing how that contributed to her PhD and the PhD of others. And now she's come all the way through, done some great research, done a great PhD. But then, because she became involved in all the PPI across various projects, she's now co-leading on the patient part, the PPI, for the whole centre. So, and she's also involved in, you know, PPI for other networks as well. So I think that's a lovely, you know, success story of how, you know, she's stayed within the centre and branched out as well, and has really sort of found that, you know, that PPI niche, and, you know, taken that forward in such a huge way. So we're really, really happy about that. And another PhD student who right from the start was Holly Tibble, mm-hmm. who worked with real world data. And Holly had a real gift for, you know, making this quite tough subject accessible to everyone, and the statistics accessible to everyone. And Holly's been awarded a Chancellor's Award at Edinburgh University, which is a really prestigious award. So she's taking forward work in data science in that way. So again, really, really happy with what Holly's achieved there.
And what about you? Because obviously this is a kind of new way of doing postgrad training, and you said people kind of thought it was a bit strange to do it in this way. What have you taken from it, and what have you learned from the time that you've been operating in this way? What was surprising, actually? Is there anything surprising?
Yeah, well, I'm really passionate about training, as I hope you can tell. And it's, you know, it's been a massive, you know, learning curve to me. I think, you know, obviously, I think anybody who's in education will, you know, will get that satisfaction on an individual basis, where you have a student and they come a long way. But when you're seeing this, you know, across 50 researchers, you know, it's a huge privilege. And it's also, you know, you really see this kind of acorn growing, really, and you see what difference it makes in research. So what surprised me? It surprised me how well a virtual centre has worked, actually, because I was quite sceptical about how well it would work at the start, because I hadn't really, we're talking about 10 years ago now, you know, where people didn't work virtually as much as we do now. So I was surprised by how we were able, you know, how that community forged, how the students supported each other. And this was really, you know, vital during the pandemic, because we were all set up as a virtual centre already. We didn't have to really move to that way of working. But we learned that it is obviously very important to have those face-to-face meetings early on, so that people really gel together as well. So that was one of the big learning points for me, you know, the virtual way of working and how to make that work best. And the other thing I'd pick out would be the, you know, the peer-led teaching and learning. So in terms of leadership opportunities, we really encourage the students to, you know, take a lead on the webinars, to be chairing meetings and so on. So I think this was really important for them in terms of leadership qualities and being exposed also, you know, to things like we organised a breakfast with an international leader in asthma research, and that was a nice informal way for the students just to chat to somebody that senior, where, you know, they wouldn't normally get that sort of opportunity. So it was, you know, great opportunities for networking. I think this kept coming back to us in the feedback the students gave about the, you know, about the centre.
Yeah. And so if you could think about someone who's at the beginning of their impact journey, maybe, or hasn't tried something as crazy as a virtual centre 10 years ago, before we all knew that virtual centres were a thing, do you have any hints or tips or pieces of advice that you'd be willing to share?
I think it's really important to start, think about impact right at the start, isn't it? So that you come at it the right way round. So it's not enough anymore, I think, just to think about a research question. You have to sort of step back at the start and think, okay, what don't we know about this topic? Is this topic important, first of all? Is it important for patients? Is it going to make a difference? What difference am I going to make with this research? So it's it's taking that step back and thinking, you know, what do we need to know? You know, not just what do I want to know, but what's going to be important to know, what's going to make a difference.
Yeah. And so that happens. So you would say that happens like right at the beginning of a piece of work, rather than kind of doing the work and then going, oh gosh, like what am I going to do with it now? It's the beginning.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly. I mean, I think traditionally, you know, years ago, it was very much, let's do research that's really interesting to me or my group. And then it was a bit of a tag on at the end. How do we get this published? And, you know, the impact story is kind of, we focused on that important, really important piece of it. You know, we're focused more on it now early on. But yeah, it used to be a little bit of a tag on at the end, really.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, I think we'll leave it for now, Gwyn. So Gwyn Davis, thanks ever so much for joining us, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks very much, Laura.
Hello and welcome to the Impact Interviews. My name's Laura and I'm going to be your host today. And today I am delighted to welcome Dr. Hilary Pinnock. Hilary is a GP by background and she has led the self-management programme for Ask Me UK Centre for Applied Research since its inception over 10 years ago. Hi, Hilary.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. So, Hilary, these are the Impact Interviews. So I've got to start by asking you, what do you think impact is? Why do you think anyone should care?
I guess I would define impact as making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Making a difference, obviously, to people living with asthma in the context of the Asthma UK Centre, but also making a difference to the professionals who are looking after those people, making a difference to early career researchers and PhD students who are working alongside us. So it is around making a difference, something that I was going to say measurable. I'm not sure measurable, which implies numbers, is quite necessarily the right word. But somewhere people, it's the pleasure of having somebody say that made a difference. Or I've thought about things differently since we looked at this or we discussed that. So it's making a difference. It's difficult to measure it in figures, and that sometimes is challenging. But making.
So why do you think people should care?
How do you mean by should people care? Because, I mean, we all care about our health. Patients care about living with their condition. Professionals care because they want to do things better. You know, as a GP, I wanted to do the best I could. So I do care that I'm doing things well. Early career researchers, PhD students care because they want to achieve a career. So if we can do something to help them do it better, that's impact.
Wow. Okay. So you have led the self-management program. So for our lightning round, could you tell us what is the self-management program? Who cares? And why is it amazing?
Okay. The word self-management sounds like it's a thing, doesn't it? It sounds more sort of official.
Yeah.
First of all, we only ever talk about supported self-management because self-management isn't something I give to a patient. Self-management is something I support a patient to look after themselves better. I cannot give self-management. People are looking after themselves by definition. Every minute of every day, they are taking decisions about the medicine they're going to use, the activities they're going to do, whether or not they need medical care. They are taking those decisions. So I am not giving anybody self-management. I am supporting them to live better. So I often use the terminology supporting people to live with their asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly never use the term self-management without support it, because that's my role, is to support them.
Okay. And so who cares about supported self-management?
People living with asthma, because they are living with a long-term condition. And although many of them will have worked out ways of making it work, the more I can help, I have clinical knowledge, academic knowledge, and if I can help people with that, then that can affect and improve their lives. They know how it's like to live with it. I have the clinical knowledge, and it's merging those two that, if you like, is amazing.
And so why is this amazing and not good or great? Why is it amazing?
Because I think it's actually the fundamental role that we have as clinicians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, there are technical things that we can do. You know, if you're a surgeon, you can operate. There are things that you could do that are technical. I can give a drug, a pharmacological treatment. But when it comes to it, I think one of the key things that I have done throughout a career in medicine is to support people to live with their conditions, to help them to understand their conditions, know when to worry and when not to worry,
mm-hmm.
What drugs are likely to help them, how to recognise when things are not going so well. So I think it's actually the core of what we do in medicine.
Mm-hmm. And so if we think about some of the people that you've helped or communities that you've helped or anything, without giving anyone's kind of confidential information away, I'm not asking you to do that. But could you think of any examples or stories that you can tell us where that supported self-management has transformed someone's life? And how did that happen?
I think it transformed. I mean, difficult to know where to start with that.
Yeah.
Because quite clearly, I could talk about, you know, from a professional perspective, I can talk about the patients who sometimes after many years of discussion and getting to know them and understand their problems, will suddenly begin to understand how they can live better with their asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really rewarding when a patient says, oh, you mean if I took those inhaled steroids, those preventer treatments regularly, I might not have an attack like this. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is what I've been hoping you'd understand for a while. So I'm actually now supporting them. So that is really rewarding. The patients who, so from a patient, from a professional perspective, the patients who tell me that this is rewarding. From an academic perspective, it is really rewarding working with a team of people. The project that I've been working on is called IMPART.
Mm-hmm. And what's that?
That is implementing improved asthma self-management as a routine. So, but the important thing is that it's there to try and embed supported self-management as a way of working in GP practices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really rewarding working with a team, some of whom knew more about supported self-management than others. So we've had people join our team who have learnt about supported self-management, and I've learnt from them the skills that they bring. So this working in a team has been really, really important. And we've had a team working on this now for the best part of a decade. So that's been very rewarding. It's been rewarding also in order to be able to get involved with capacity building.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting, we've had three PhD students aligned with the IMPART programme of work,
mm-hmm.
One of whom has graduated and two of whom are still working through their PhD. And that's rewarding because they learn about how you can, about running a large programme of work. But they also teach us a lot because of what they bring, a fresh view to things. So that's been rewarding. And that, of course, aligns very much with the other role that I have within the ASPM UK Centre, which is as one of the postgraduate co-leads.
With so Gwen.
I've been with Gwen. Mm. And that's been another rewarding feature to watch the students coming through, many of whom have stayed with us or been working in aligned areas. We're still in contact with. So that's been really very rewarding as well. The other thing we've done in the IMPART work, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this at the ASM next week, is we've tried to bring in master students and undergraduates who have projects to do. And we've tried mm-hmm. to align projects. We've got something like 20 students who've been aligned with the IMPART work. Now, there again, what you're doing there is sowing seeds of several things. You're sowing seeds of what supported self-management is, what is so important about helping people live with their condition. But you're also sowing the seeds of academic work, of health service research, of implementation research. So that's really rewarding, particularly when they come back a couple of years later and they have another project to do. Can we help with another project? Or they want to write a paper and they ask you to help with them. So there's a great deal of rewards to be had at every different level.
And so that's been over the last 10 years.
Yes.
And we're now thinking about the next 10 years. And so if all of that good stuff happened in the last 10 years, what do you think you could be most excited about in terms of the future?
I think we're going to be broadening our agenda. This has been a very focused program of work around asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being able to spread some of that to a broader areas of respiratory care, respiratory research, I think that will be very rewarding. I feel that we have learnt a lot, particularly about the benefits of PhD programmes, particularly mm-hmm. about the benefits of programme grants where you have space to build a team. And I think, and to really get into a topic area in depth, I think that's been those are things that I have certainly learnt, appreciated, and been very rewarding. And I hope we can continue, but looking perhaps at a broader areas of respiratory medicine.
And so, as we enter this next phase and new people come in, do you have any wise words or top tips for anyone coming into the area who's thinking about creating impact?
I think if there is a word I would want to use, it's enthusiasm.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because if you want to work with whoever you're working with, whether it's with patients that you're caring for, whether it's with early career researchers that you're trying to support, whether it's with colleagues, whether you're trying to make a difference at policy level, if you're enthusiastic yourself and you actually believe in what you're doing, then I think the chances of it making a difference increase.
And how do you keep up your enthusiasm in the dark days of bad results and hard work?
Difficult, really.
Oh.
yes it's hard work. Yes, there's a lot to do, but I don't actually find it difficult to keep up enthusiasm
yeah.
for something that I believe in, for something
Love.
That I know, yes, something that is rewarding, and something which I think is so fundamental to our clinical practice and to how healthcare services should be supporting people. So I don't actually find it that difficult to keep up enthusiasm.
More a calling than a profession.
Well, I suppose medicine's always been described like that.
Yeah. Oh, and so do you have any final wise words for people listening to the podcast anywhere around the world?
Yeah, work with other people. Collaborate.
Yeah.
Work with other people. Recognize that as an individual you don't know everything. Recognize that whether you're talking to patients or colleagues, whoever you're talking to, there are people with different perspectives that can contribute. We could not have achieved as much as we had with the IMPART program if I hadn't had around me people who had skills that I had not got. And that is absolutely crucially important. So yes, collaborate, talk to other people, keep going, because yes, it is hard work sometimes, and try and share that enthusiasm and interest.
Oh, that's really lovely. Hilary, thank you so much. Thank you. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Impact Interviews. If you enjoyed this episode, then please check out our back catalogue. And if you've any questions for either us or our guests, then please be sure to get in touch. We'll be back next week with something new. So see you soon.